Can you still hear me from the mic?
I hear you. I don't know if you're coming in from the mic or from the laptop. You do sound a little distant, but that might just be
How about now? Maybe it's coming from my earpods.
it sounds like it's coming from the computer.
Is that I changed one of the
That
patterns on the
sounds
microphone. Is that better?
good. Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay. It sounds like the mic's behind me now.
Oh, it sounds great, man. You sound great. You sound healthy. You sound fit. You sound good looking. What's going
Okay.
on? It's been a minute.
Well, yeah, has been a little while. Well, I think we're like a year and a week
I think it
since the
is,
last one
yeah.
was recorded.
Because it was probably right after Winter Clash, right?
Yeah, I think the same thing. I think we recorded it like in the middle of Winter Clash, or maybe it was right after it finished or something like that.
I think I talked about Winter Clash at the in the show, so it was probably like a few days when I after I just got back.
Yes, that's right. Because we talked about you being there, and was that the year that Andy shenanigans happened?
It was the year, yeah.
Okay,
Well, I am not there this
I'm
year.
actually kind of upset that I didn't. Yeah, well, unfortunately,
Yeah.
well, I mean, there was a lot of shenanigans that happened on your trip, so it might have probably been better to
The
not.
you know honestly, every Winter Clash trip has been a lot. Like it's it I will say, you know, in full disclosure, I love Winter Clash. I think that it is the best event that you can go to if you're a rollerblader. But it is a lot. Like I am very because, you know, I'm a family man and I try to take care of my daughter and get her to school and take care of the dogs and take care of my wife. Like I am very integrated into the day-to-day at the house. And me leaving 3 days, school days, let alone 4 school days, is really rough.
Oh,
And
yeah.
last year, if I remember correctly, I tried to do it in 3 days. So I think I flew out. Did I fly out? I flew out Wednesday. I think I landed Thursday, and then show Friday, Saturday, and I flew back Sunday. And if I remember correctly, there was a big storm, and my flight was supposed to go through Boston, and I ended up going through Paris instead on the way. Like there was a direct from Paris to Raleigh. It was so weird. And then I vowed that, hey, I would just make sure that I give myself an extra day because like the time change is no joke, especially as you start getting older. And it just wrecked my system. This year, I just don't have the time. Like I gotta be honest. Like imagine, you know, leaving on Tuesday, spending a whole day acclimating, and then maybe flying back on Sunday, getting back, you know, late Sunday night and trying to work on Monday. Like it's just,
Yeah, that would be awful.
yeah, I don't know. I mean, I got to do it. Like there were a lot of reasons why I wasn't able to go this year, but just the not being able to be around at home during school days was the number one. Like it's too
Yeah.
disruptive to my family to leave for 3 days during the school week. And you know, I don't know that truthfully, like I think we're kind of at a point now where standard is kind of established, you know,
Yeah, I
where
would agree.
I think the people who would want to see me kind of have already seen me, you know? So it's like if they didn't see me last year, they saw me the year before. And it's not like we have, you know, a brand new skate. I mean, there's plenty of brand new skates at the event this year.
Oh man, I can't wait to talk about some of
Yeah.
those.
But yeah, I mean, I've been seeing a few clips. Our friend Sam Hain is out there with Clark and the
Oh,
Faction
no
team, which
kidding.
is great. And you know, obviously all of my industry friends are out there. A lot of skaters are out there. So it looks like an amazing event. I do highly encourage if you do have the means and you do have the availability, it is the pinnacle of skating events. You know, you will go and have a great time. Get your tickets early. Book your flights early and just go out there and have fun. It is a really great time. I'm bummed that I'm not there, but I'm also kind of happy that I'm at home and not having to stress over travel and sit at the booth all day for 2 days. And you know, that's just the logistics of the
Yeah,
thing are
make
never
sure no one
fun.
steals any of your shit.
Yeah, I mean, yeah,
Yeah.
exactly.
I hate to say that, but I mean, there's been so many posts on BMag. Every year something like that
Oh, of
happens.
course. There's a
It's
lot of
awful.
opportunistic bladers out there. And We did plan on going out to Winter Clash, and Luke was going to go. I think he was the only one who was going to go, because Luke is really good at events like that. He won Bittercold. He's like grew up skating modern, and the modern skate park is very similar to the Area 51 skate park. Not as big, like they really step it up for Winter Clash, but yeah, I think he would fare very well out there. So that was the plan. But then it's just, I don't know, like trading off, watching the booth and like, it just, I don't know. It felt like I couldn't enjoy myself. I was working, you know? And
yeah.
I'm just tired. I've got to be honest. I'm tired, man. Like it's
and,
a lot.
And that, the anxiety of all that and not really being able to relax at all while you're there.
Yeah.
I think that would be your main reason of not enjoying yourself as much as you could.
Yeah.
I just wouldn't like being around that many people.
No,
it's too much, too many people in such a small space.
Totally. It's thousands of people. And well, I don't know about thousands, but at least it's hundreds of people. And when I go, I'm a ghost, you know, I show up when booths are open. And as soon as I can close the booth, like even before I'm supposed to, I'm closing up shop and getting the hell out of there. So it's like, I just don't have that spirit, you know? It's very different if you're manning a booth than if you're going to a tent, you know? Yeah. So if I went as a skater, I think it would be a different story. But yeah, as a working booth, it's hard to, like, again, budgets are tough. And it's hard to justify the cost, especially if I'm not selling a lot. Like we did soft goods, but it's not like I'm bringing skates with me because they're really big and I'm not going to be able to really haul those around. I think like Jordan over at Semantics is there. I saw a picture of him, his booth, and Arlo is there, you know, selling the drug receipt stuff and Semantics. So like those are things that you can kind of pack into suitcases and bring over.
Yeah, easy enough. Just pay the, $150 bucks for an extra suitcase.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right. Yeah. No big deal. And that's just, you know, kind of a way to justify the expense. And then you're kind of going as a shop. For me, I would go as just like a kind of like a brochure, you know, and it's like, I had full intentions on going, but it just didn't quite make sense, especially when family is so important, like being around for them for that many days. It's a tough justification this year when we don't have anything new, you know, like, we announced the Omni V3 back in late October, I think.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. We just started getting them in end of January. And you know, I've been shipping all month, so it's been a really great response. I would love to have some of the V3s out there, but they're not even available in Europe yet. They're hitting shops now. I think they just cleared our fulfillment center, so they should be getting to shops and getting to skaters now. But yeah, it's just the timing just didn't work out this year. Maybe next year, though. I do hope to go back. Yeah. I really like the event.
I feel like I would want to go. I do want to go. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of in what capacity. Like, I'm definitely not going to skate. Yeah, like, I don't think I would even bring my skates. That's not true. I definitely would.
Yeah, I mean, the nice thing about it is it's a skating weekend. It's kind of similar to that, what year is it, weekend that we did at Woodward? Where, yeah, that
was so much fun.
Yeah, and even if you didn't want to, like, I don't know, like, compete is the wrong word, but, like, really try. Like, just having your skates and being part of the club. You know, like, how often do you get to hang out with rollerbladers? It's very rare.
Not often enough.
Yeah.
Not often enough.
Yeah. So,
but
it's a good event.
Yeah. And I was thinking, like, if I were to go, like, any event that I go to that you have a presence in, I'm volunteering my services for booth duty. And anytime you, I love doing that.
It is fun. You know,
when I did it at Angie's event at Clark's, that was a lot of
fun. Yeah. I appreciate the help, for sure.
I forgot about that. That was a lot of fun. Like, connecting with people years afterward and figuring out that saw each other. And I was like, oh, yeah, I was the fat guy in the kitten t-shirt at the 50-50 booth. And they're like, oh, yeah.
That was, I mean, that was the kickoff of the boom of the industry, you know, like yeah. we, it was 2018, 19.
Yeah. So 18 was the first year.
18 was the first year they did it.
Yeah. You didn't, right. you didn't get to go.
Yeah.
And then 19 was the year right. that you and I went.
So good. Yeah. I mean, it was a big deal. And you could really feel like that energy of the industry. And then, you know, obviously COVID kind of shut it down that next year and the year after, and then
yeah.
some shenanigans with Woodward. So I don't even know. I think they do inline weeks now, and I think you can still rent things for, like, you know, if you wanted to rent a cabin for off season or whatever. But I think the Falcones went out a couple of times. I think they're pretty local though, so not really yeah, a huge trip for them.
Yeah, they've gone up a number of times.
Yeah.
And so Mike actually shared with me there is a adult week.
Mm-hmm.
It's essentially a long weekend at the end of the summer. They do, or the beginning of the summer and the end of the summer. And I was like, that sounds awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's not terribly expensive.
No, no.
You know, and it includes the food and all that stuff. So I was like, that I might try to convince the wife that I want to do that or that I should do that.
Yeah. It's a great week. I mean, again, it's being able to just go out and skate and not have to worry about competing.
I've only got an hour.
Yeah, that's exactly yeah. it, man. Like, whenever I go skate now, it's like I'm very time blocked where I've got yeah. this amount of time that I can go, and I've got to, you know, make sure that I don't hurt myself, because, like, I've got to get to, you know, work the next day, or, you know, wake up early for school or whatever. And it's like, if I could have a full week, imagine that. How nice yeah. would that be?
Yeah, that'd be a blast. But I mean, again, at the same time, like, dreaming. You always get, yeah. Yeah. And then you wake up and you're like, oh,
I'm an adult.
I have responsibilities.
Yeah. It is a nice place though. And so the vibe is very similar to what you get at Winter Clash. There are so many skate parks within like a 30-minute drive that you can go and find sessions everywhere.
That's awesome.
I think the Slack guys, they rented out a skate park. I'm not sure what it was called. I remember when we went, I don't think it was last year, but it was the year before, we rented out a skate park. And I remember I got to skate a little bit, first time in a long time. So it was, I was very rusty, but it was really fun. The skate parks there are massive. And I just, big open space. So, you know, you get good speed, you get good obstacles, good, you know, multitude of options if you want to skate, you know, a single ledge or lines or whatever. At least the place that I went to and the few pictures that I've seen, there's a lot of good places to go out there. I know that they did the same this trip. It's one of those things, like, I guess because this, you know, it does get so cold and wintry out there, they kind of need to build these indoor skate parks. So
yeah,
very similar to Winter Clash or to Woodward. Just every opportunity you want to just go skate and just, you know, make a long a week out of it. It's not just the Winter Clash event that is what Friday, Saturday. It's, you know, going to skate with your friends Wednesday, Thursday, and then going to the event Friday, Saturday. And there's even stuff to skate around there. Like, you can skate at the event. There's little mini ramp and side bowls and stuff like that aren't part of the competition that you could skate to.
Yeah. And that's the stuff that I would want to skate. Like, that's, mm-hmm. so I finally got to skate the Ocean City skate park.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's awesome.
Yeah. So
I thought they didn't let rollerbladers in.
So they didn't at first. And so a couple of years ago, I was looking through the town ordinances specifically mm-hmm. regarding the skate park.
Right.
And I found in the town ordinances, it only allows inline skates and roller and skateboards. So I was like,
yeah, you're so fine then.
Yeah, so I'm calling like Parks Rec Department and this park department and this one and that one.
Right.
And I'm like, who do I need to talk to about the skate park? And they're like, oh, you need this department, whatever
right,
it was,
right,
like,
right.
like sports and recreation or something instead of parks. So I was like, all right, cool. So I get on the horn with them and I'm like, hey, I just want to clarify because the skate park says no rollerblades.
Exactly.
But the ordinance specifically states only rollerblades and skateboards. And they're like, hold on a sec. So when double checked it, they're like, oh, you're right. anytime you want, feel free to come by. And I was like, are you going to tell the attendants? They're like, yes, of course, we'll tell the attendants. And they changed the sign even.
No way.
I was really impressed. Oh, yeah.
Look at little victories. That's what we like.
Yeah. So, so after a year and a half of not going to the skate park.
Yeah, seriously.
I got, Joey had sent me his Henderson 2s.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I had those set up and I set them up anti-rocker because I was like, you know, it's been a long time since I've skated.
Right.
You know, if Joey and Law can do it, I can do it. I hated every second of it.
Yeah, I mean, anti-rocker is definitely a vibe.
Yeah, and I'm used to skating rockered and I'm hadn't skated in 2 years. So it was a very weird set of circumstances to be in.
You probably felt like, you know, so slow too. And like, don't those skates have a really high, like, forward lean? Like the heel pad is pretty tall in those skates, those SLs.
It is. But I mean, I've skated a lot of, yeah, I'm fairly used to it. I skated a lot of SLs before I got my UFRs.
Oh yeah, that's true.
And so I get there and I'm like, all right, I'm rusty, I'm overweight. You know, my legs aren't strong. So let's just take it easy. Let's just do a couple runs around the bowl. You know, maybe if I'm feeling feeling sharky, I'll attempt a grind.
Right.
And so I'm carving around the bowl and everything like that, and finding a decent line. And I'm like, you know, maybe I can go a little bit faster. And then next thing you know, I go to, you know, carve my right turn and I just set slide out like crazy. Smack my ribs on the floor.
No.
I was like, all right, we're done for the day.
Did you hit the sole plate or like the frames?
I don't know. I think so. That 58 profile wheel doesn't agree with me very well.
No, it's very pointy.
Because I'm so heavy, I wear them down really quick.
Sure.
So I think what ended up happening was I caught like a very edge of the mold and I slipped out.
Very possible.
So, I mean, it wasn't fun. And I was a little embarrassed because there was a bunch of other people there.
Sure.
I was like, all right, no big deal. You know, they didn't expect anything from the overweight 45-year-old. So
no.
let's go and lick our wounds at the house.
Yeah. It's just your ego that was hurt more than anything.
Exactly. So I've been wanting to go back, but like the weather's just been either so bitterly cold or rainy or snowy. Like we just got, like, we literally got 14 inches of snow
in
this last snowstorm that came through.
Yeah.
And that was even in like where the wind whips around.
Uh-huh.
That, and on top of my trash can, I had 14 inches. I was like, Jesus Christ, much snow. This is dumb.
I saw New York getting pummeled. So I assume it's the same band that you got hit with.
Very similar, because we're a little further south. Like, we usually don't get as cold or as much snow.
Mm-hmm. Gross, man. Yeah, we've had a really rough winter as well. And I got to be honest, like, I'm doing everything that I can to work out. Like, I think I mentioned to you, I bought an exercise bike for my Christmas present.
Oh, that's awesome.
So I've been doing that twice a week. And I ride for about 30 minutes, which, you know, it's not a ton, but it's like with the amount of time that I have, I spend a lot of time, like my daily routine has definitely gotten, at least the last time we did our show, my daily routine has gotten very regimented, just with school.
It's not a bad thing.
It's not, but it doesn't give me a lot of time for freedom. Like, you know, when I get home and when I'm done, you know, getting dinner ready and, you know, dishes and all that stuff, the last thing I want to do, especially when it's cold, is jump on the bike and exercise for 30 minutes. But I've been finding time to do it twice a week. And it's been really helping me. But it's really difficult to get motivated. Like, I don't know what it is. Like, when I was doing the videos every week, I would go out there and skate every Saturday, rain or shine, find a place to skate. And I didn't have any issue with it. But as soon as I started taking some time off, it's like do I really want to skate or do I just want to stay home? Like, I've got other things I could do. Like, you know what I mean? I start justifying, oh, well, you know, I really need to do inventory, or I've got these orders that I need to ship and I got to get ahead of it before Monday. And it's like, I always find a reason that I'm not going to skate. Like, it's not a weather related, like, I've got places to skate indoors. Like, I got a mini ramp. I got the new little ledge spot that I built. So I've got plenty of spots that I could skate in the rain. It's just a matter of motivation. I just don't want to do it.
Yeah, I totally understand that. I'm pretty much the same when it comes to going to the gym.
I've
just got no motivation to do it, but you know, working on it.
You've identified the problem, and making moves towards the solution. Like, I definitely want to skate more, and I am planning on skating more now that the weather is better. You know, we've had a lot of snow. We had a rough winter as well, like a lot of snow, a lot of ice. And then, like, I just don't work well. I think I've shared, but I have the rule that I don't skate if the weather is, the temperature is lower than my age. Yeah. And I'm turning 50 this year. So, like, I got a little bit of wiggle room. But, like, I think 50 is kind of good. Like, anything below 50, like, I'm okay. Like, I don't need to skate that bad. But anything above 50, like, I should be able to skate. And it was in the 50s today. So it's like, all right. Like, it feels like it's manageable now. It feels like I can actually go out there and skate. It's just now we're battling the weather. Like, it's not the temperature. It's the rain. It's the random ice storm that we got a couple of weeks ago just for no reason. So, yeah, but hopefully, you know, end of February, beginning of March, we're recording this on the Friday, the 27th. So, looking forward to clear skies next weekend. And I hope to get out there and skate again. And I hope you do too. There's nothing better. Even if you just put on we need to send you a flat setup. I think that's the thing. Do you need my old wish frames? Is that, what it's going to take? I know you like a longer frame.
I do. Well, no, I have. So what I set up the Justin Thursday icon frames.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Those are
Stefan
great
wheels.
I didn't know you got a pair of those. Those are great.
Yeah. So I discussed a lot of stuff with Justin.
Yeah.
And since I was a fan of Justin's in the B-bag days just seeing the amazing stuff that he was doing, modifying skates, just blew my mind. And like, I wanted to know that guy. And then what we became Facebook friends and stuff like that. And so we've talked about a lot of different stuff, and he was just like, "You're getting a homie pair." And I was like, yes.
Nice. Oh, I didn't know you got a pair. That's awesome.
Yeah, I did. I was really happy about it. And he said, "What size do you need? And what color do you want?" And I was like, "Give me some white ones."
Sick. Yeah. So have you skated them yet?
Not yet. Not yet. I wanted to try to give Annie Rocker another solid shake. I just don't think I'm going to bother anymore.
I think Annie Rocker is an acquired taste. I think if you are just sessioning a ledge, I think Annie Rocker is the place to go. If you are concerned that you're going to get wheel bite in the obstacle that you're skating, just skate Annie Rocker. Like, it's just easier.
But as
we get older, like, I think Joey actually spoke about this. As we get older, your knees really appreciate a flat setup. Like that turning feeling when you're turning skating Annie Rocker, the only way to really turn, you got to really lean into it. Or you have to lift up your toes, you know, and just kind of go heels and move a little bit that way. That's not good on your knees. Like, you get really tired.
Yeah. And it's just, it's not as much fun. And like, I feel like in my advanced age.
Yes. Yes.
And my ability to fund my silly shenanigans from time to time.
Right.
I would rather spend the extra money on the extra bearings and the extra wheels for a flat setup and enjoy rolling around more than the grinds. Cause I'm terrible at the grinds anymore.
Right. Yeah.
And thanks for the vote of confidence.
But skating's all about skating. Like, again, I think that's, I was on the Rollerblading is Fun podcast. A couple weeks ago.
That was a good episode.
Oh, thanks. I didn't know you listened to that.
I didn't even know it was a thing.
Yeah.
And then like I saw it on YouTube and then you uploaded it to the
I popped up. Yeah.
Yeah, and I was like, all right, I'm listening.
It is it's an interesting show. So it's this dude, I'm gonna mess up his name. Josh, I think his name is, who I think they're based in Dallas. And he gets a group of like three other dudes that just hang out and they just basically talk about stuff, which is an amazing format. I mean, it's very similar to like what Nine Club does or like, you know, what other shows do. But it is a very like refreshing vibe. They do interviews occasionally and I was very happy to be part of one of their shows. But we were talking about how much fun it is to just skate. Like, it's so silly to say, you know, because exactly. We're both aggressive skaters, but it's like, I don't really care about the grinds. Like, the most fun that I have, like, I love jumping on ledge, posing, and then jumping off ledge. You know what I mean? Like, that's, it's a great feeling, but I feel like the best times that I've had skating are just with my friends going around town, like just jumping over shit, riding downstairs. Oh, yeah. You know what I mean? Like those are the days that I really think back and I like, I don't remember the crazy handrails that I did. And there were only like a handful, like I'm not a handrail skater, but like there were some big rails that I did that I'm like, yes. And I can still remember those, but the most fun that I have is skating to the spots because we didn't have a car. 100%. So it's like, you know, like from Alameda, for example, we would skate to downtown Oakland and there's this, it's called the Posey Tube. So you go up this street and most ways to get on the island, Alameda's an island, most ways to get on the island is a bridge. But this one way is a tube that goes under the bay. So there's like a stretch. I don't know what the water is called between Alameda and Oakland, but like the whole Bay Area is like the, you know, the Bay. I don't know what San Francisco Bay, I guess it's called. It's not the Bay, whatever that little strip is between Alameda and Oakland.
The estuary?
Yeah, it is the estuary. Yeah. And we would go under on this tube, and the tube is this narrow ass. Like, I mean, it is maybe 3 feet wide. It is definitely not ADA accessible. Like, if you had a wheelchair and you're going down the tube, you could not go the opposite way, right? You couldn't have two wheelchairs. Like, one would just, they would just run into each other and they couldn't cross.
Oh my God.
So, and maybe they've changed. This was 30 plus years ago. But we would go and skate and there's this, like this little channel. So it is, it goes fast. Like it's downhill and there is a handrail on the left and cars whizzing by you. And then there's this little channel, which I don't know if it's for rain or what, but if you get your foot stuck in there, you're just screwed. Like you're flipping over, like you're not going to be able to get your foot out of there. And you start flying and we're like, you know, skating this thing. And those are like, those are my favorite memories. Like the four of us, five of us just exploring the city, like looking for these spots, bringing backpacks with wax. And like, that's so much fun. Like jumping down stuff, jumping over things, like egging each other on, talking shit. Like that's what I really enjoy. It's not the sessioning the ledge over and over and over stuff. So anyway, I love those frames. Long story short, the T60Rs or the AG60s or whatever the heck they're called.
I had both.
I have really fond memories of skating those frames. I took them out to Marsh, which is my favorite local spot. And I had no problem skating the ledge. So you shouldn't have a problem doing any of your grinds. I was skating with a 1 mil rocker. So the inside, the middle wheels could rocker down, which is a really fun feeling. But they also, they have a DIY up top, which was an old hockey rink, roller hockey rink. And just skating was so much fun. Like I would just book it because it's this, you know, 60 millimeter rockered setup. It's just so responsive, man. So yeah, if you can set those up, I think that would be good. If the Stefan wheels are a little hard, let me know. I know that you'll wear through 88A a little faster, but I highly encourage people who can swing it, and you can swing it. Get yourself some 88A 60 millimeter wheels. That is, in my eyes, the best setup for that. You're not going to need a harder wheel for like wheel bite or anything because the frame groove is built to protect you for that. But just the skating style, like 88A feels so good. There's just so much shock absorption, so much like squish to it. It will wear faster, of course, but it's like, it's worth it. The amount of time that we skate, like, don't skate wheels that are any harder than you need to. Like, you don't need to save your urethane, you know, like your mom is going to buy new ones. Like in 6 months, you got to make them last. You know what I mean? We're not in that world anymore.
Yeah. Honestly, I wanted the Steffens because they're pink.
Well, that's fair. That's fair.
Yeah. But I mean, I have no issue with any product you've ever sold or made or given to me or anything like that. Like even the clicky compass frames.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I'm perfectly fine with them because I know they're a prototype and I know that what you have on the market is perfectly fine.
Very so different.
Did you see what else I got recently?
What did you get? I did. I can't remember. What did you get?
I got the Compass 90s.
I remember that.
From Mark Sundell.
Yeah. I love the Compass 90s. They are so much fun. Like a 90 millimeter frame, especially since you're a 42. Is that right? Size 9?
Yeah.
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 It's a little long for your foot, but I know you like longer frames. Having a slight rocker to it makes that, you know, that effective wheelbase a little bit shorter. I'm really impressed with how responsive plastic frames can be. Like, you need to set them up, and especially on the FR UFRs. But the V ones might work if it fits your feet, but the UFRs, I think would be a really good setup for you.
Yeah, I'll try those again. I'm going to try those with the is it Rain?
Mm-hmm. The liners. Yeah,
the Rain Henderson liners.
Yeah, the Harrod Henderson.
We'll try them with that because I feel like those just were a little narrower in certain parts of my foot than even the Intuitions. Like the Intuition V2s, I even had an issue with a couple parts of my foot, whereas I never have with the Reins. But I do really want to try them, and I think that 4x90 is pretty much a perfect big wheel, especially for my size foot for what I prefer. Plus, having that little bit of rocker is just going to make it that much better, and I'm really excited to try them.
Yeah, I love it. It's a good setup. So it's 275 at the minimum, and I think it's 281, 279 maybe at the 279 at the furthest. So it's a four-way rocker, which means you can really dial it in however wiggly you want it. I like a single, I like the middle wheels out and the outer wheels up. Which gives me a one mil rocker on the inside. It's a great, I'm really, really proud of that frame. We actually don't sell a ton of them. We sell more 80 millimeters. Cause I think again, 90 is just it's a big wheel.
And it's a big jump.
Yeah.
You know, if someone's used to skating 250s or 270s, that can be a big jump.
Totally. And the 80s are 260. So if you're looking for a smaller wheelbase, or you have a smaller feet, definitely the 80s or the 72s are the way to go. You can also, with those frames, you can access the UFS bolts. So if you want to swap between an anti-rocker frame and then a big wheel frame, that's the way to go. With the 90s, you know, it's physically impossible because the 90 millimeter wheels are too wide. Like, you know, 90 plus 90 is 180. UFS is 167. So there's no way you could have UFS and have two wheels in the two 90 millimeter wheels in the middle. You know, it's just impossible to make it fit. But I'm looking forward to hearing what you say about them. I absolutely love those frames. I have them set up on a pair of V1s. I think with my FR Intuitions, it's a really fun setup. A lot of good slides, and that 90 millimeter is kind of like the perfect balance. Like, hundreds to me feels like a little too big. Like, I like the coast that I get with hundreds, but
you got to work for it.
You do. Yeah. That's a good way of putting it. Yeah. You gotta skate hard to get to that top speed. If you're skating a bit of a downhill, or if you're skating a skate park that has like good inclines, hundreds are probably a good way to go. If you're skating flatland, to get to top speed on hundreds, it takes a lot. And that wheelbase also is going to be very long. So like, it's hard to get a good stride on a super long wheelbase. Like it's kind of like speed skating, you know? See speed skaters and they've got this really crazy stride until they get up to top speed. Like that's just a, I don't know. It's not a way that I don't know how to skate like that.
305 or 315 frames.
Yeah. Totally. They're totally long frames.
I don't know how they do crossovers.
Well, I don't know that they, yeah, I guess they do, don't they? But it's like a very exaggerated, exaggerated crossover. And for me, like, especially with a hockey background, I can't mentally not. It takes a lot of concentration to not clip myself. And I mean, I've done it in on hundreds, and it's embarrassing. Like you think you're embarrassed. Like just I'm just skating. I'm not even on a ramp or bowl or anything like that. I'm just trying to make myself from point A to point B. Anyway. Yeah, man, it's good. So I'm looking forward to seeing some clips of you getting out there and skating. I am planning on skating next weekend. I've skated a couple of times. We built this little locker. So I got a storage locker. I think I sent you some pics, but
you did.
It's 15 feet by 30 feet, so it's pretty like intimate, I guess you would say. But it's big enough that we've got 10-foot coping, 10-foot down boxes, like with coping both sides. And then I've got an 8-foot, the Sub-Rosa rail. I've got the Sub-Rosa rail in the middle. So you can skate left, you can skate right. You can skate the rail in the middle. And then there's a little, quarter pipe at the end. It's a really fun, like if all you want to do is just jump on grind, jump off grind. It's a really fun little spot. And I got the Bluetooth speaker set up with the iPad, so you could put on music and pair your phone to the speaker if you want to play music. And like, I don't know, I wanted to do some live streams there. I think we finally got it built maybe October, maybe November. Yeah, it's probably November. I haven't really had a good chance to live stream from there yet. Just timing has been busy. But it feels like the sort of spot where, I've had a bunch of people over to hang out. They actually do. So the local skate crew, they do a Thursday night skate at one of the skate parks. And when it's raining, sometimes they'll go over to the locker and skate there instead, because we don't have any indoor skate parks in the area anymore. The one that I used to skate with, the mini ramp, it closed down during COVID. So there's really nothing. Yeah, there's a spot in Greensboro, which is like an hour and maybe 10 minutes, hour, 20 minutes away, which isn't too far, but it's not a great skate park. It's very skateboardy.
That's almost like, is it really worth it?
Yeah, exactly. If you're looking for just a space, a place to skate, I mean, the little locker is absolutely fine. And now, that I'm done shipping, I should have the mini ramp back up and running. So I'll be able to skate that again.
That's awesome. Yeah. So that your little training facility there, mm-hmm. That you're building, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That looks so fun. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know if I'd even really be able to do anything on it, but
I mean, you've got your
grinds.
I definitely
want to come and visit and try. Yeah.
Yeah. You've got your handful of grinds. Like I've got 10 grinds that I'm able to do. I'm more than happy to just do that. Like I'm at the age where the feeling of grinding, like think back to when you first started skating, like you were doing front size probably. Yep. Just doing front sides all day because you didn't know that there were other grinds or you didn't know how to do any other
better.
It doesn't matter, man. Like you're still having, it's such a great feeling. Like when people go out there and surf, like, are they trying new tricks? Probably not. Like most people who surf are just trying to catch a wave and just enjoy that ride. Like that's what I like to do. Find a grind that you love. For me, like I love back royales or I love, soul grinds or, front royale or whatever, and just like do that all the time. Like figure out all the ways that you can spin into it, spin out of it, but just enjoy it. Like get yourself set, get in the barrel. Like it's such a, like rollerblading is so fun. We tend to complicate it so much. Like, I see new people trying to progress so fast. And it's like, just, you know,
you don't need to, like, just enjoy it.
enjoy skating. Yeah. Skating's so much fun.
Yeah. And like, just like we were saying, like we're going to be coming back to nostalgia left and right, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. But like, just remembering the days of like just cruising down from spot to spot with the boys, mm-hmm. and stuff like that. And just like you're saying, jumping over things and jumping off shit.
For sure.
Bombing parking garages and stuff. I feel weird using that phrase, bombing a parking garage nowadays. Especially as a quote unquote adult.
It means like, something different like now. Yeah.
Yeah. But like it rolls off the tongue so easily, and saying like we transited down the thing in our rollerblades just feels too awkward. So,
we would do the same
like,
thing.
That's
though.
That's the stuff that I remember more.
Totally. And,
there's like highlight reels of like grind sessions that I remember.
Right.
But usually it's the P-Row ones that we would do at mm-hmm. my buddy Jeremy's place until like 2 a.m.
Oh, totally.
And just talking shit the whole time.
Yeah. That's what I love. We would session this. There was a school that had a painted curb, and like session this curb all night. And the curb, it was a school that had a little drop off lane, and like, so you would kind of veer in and you would drop the kids off and then you would veer out. So there, it created this flat area where like drop off zone was, but then mm-hmm. there was this like very subtle, like 45 degree turn that opened like the driveway, I guess, towards the street again, and it was fully painted around that. So we would challenge each other to do, you know, a grind to get around the curve. And it's like hours of just skating this curb all the time just to see how much further you could get around the curve. Like, those are the fun days.
Can you close your eyes and still remember?
Oh, for sure.
Like, how it would feel on your grind plates and stuff like that?
Absolutely. I actually have clips. I have clips still of skating that curb.
Awesome.
Yeah, man. It's just, I don't know, nostalgia is a bitch, but rollerblading is fun.
I agree. So let's talk some shit on some of the new stuff. Speaking of Winter Clash,
Clash weekend. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a lot of really new stuff. And the one that I was the most shocked at was the new Oigans.
Yeah. Man, so it was Skatapalooza. Yeah, Skatapalooza. So we have a dozen new skates. Like, I don't even know what's going on. It's like they know something that I don't, where like, oh, sales are great. Everybody's rollerblading. So let's all come out with new models. I don't see that happening. Like, I don't know where this enthusiasm is coming from, but maybe it's a Europe thing. Maybe it's a China thing. Maybe blading is huge there. I do see a lot of people coming back to rollerblading, like on the Facebook groups. And I see posts every day with, hey, I'm getting back. I'm dusting off my old skates and I'm out there skating. I'm like, that's great. There's a lot of skates, Ben. Like
there really are
a dozen or so skates that were announced this weekend. I don't know when they're all shipping. Definitely, you know, top three of what the hell is going on. Not in a bad, and I want to preface, like, as a company owner, I'm not trying to say disparaging things about these skates, but like, people did not stay with a consistent all black skate this.
No,
there's definitely some pushing of the envelope to do something a little different.
Yeah. So on some of the more simple lines, you know, them announced the Darce 2s, mm-hmm. exactly mm-hmm. like the first ones.
Yep. It's a 909 with a 901 sole plate, I think.
Yeah. I think we're going to find that that's going to be where John's going to take that.
Yeah.
I think the 909 sole is going to go away.
I think
which is going to upset Jeremy Troia.
It's probably true. Yeah. So the big difference between the two sole plates, one of them has a centered groove. The other one has the little, almost the Rossi style groove, which is kind of set back a little bit. So if you grew up skating Majestic 12s and you Royale with your toes down, you probably would appreciate that sole plate. If you Royale with your toes up and you started skating with like K2 fatties, you'd probably appreciate the 901 sole plate. I prefer aesthetically, I think the 909 sole plate looks better. The 901 sole plate has this weird like lip around it that I'm not a huge fan of, but functionally.
See, that's what I like about it.
Yeah, exactly. And that might be fine for some people. Functionally, I think is better.
Yeah.
It might be a little bit wider than the 909 sole plate. The 901, I'm not really sure what the difference is between the 9. I think we talked about this in our last show or one of the other shows. The 901, when it was introduced, was supposed to be this lower cost, using a different material mold and differentiation, which is why the 901 is lower than a 909 in like numerical value. That's all out the window. I think they're just using the molds interchangeably. The new Jet Set Radio boots had the 909 boot, and then the Whites had the 901 boot, and the Darst have the 909 boot. Like, it's kind of all over the place.
Where's everything going?
I don't try to understand it. Again, it's not my company. Little confusing to me from the outside, but I'm sure that it makes total sense to somebody.
But
the Darsts are a great throwback. I remember when those skates first came out, I didn't know who Sean Darst was. He was kind of came out of nowhere, right? I mean, he might have had a few videos edits in the back, but like it was
he'd kind of done like a big resurgence, or maybe not resurgence, but like his breakout was in the V13 days.
Mm-hmm.
So like right when that came out was when he really started to, I don't know if he was putting himself out there more or if it just worked out that way for him, but that around the time the V13 dropped is when I started seeing him a whole lot. And he's really good.
Yeah, he's an amazing skater. There's no doubt about that. One of the best styles in my eyes, and just the way that I love to watch skating, he makes everything look very effortless. And that is like the indication, like kind of how Aragon used to do. He's not the same Aragon style, but like that vibe of just makes everything look so easy. Maybe so like chill. Aaron Feinberg, where he's just like,
I think that's just easy. More accurate.
Yeah. Yeah. I absolutely love his style. And he does really, I wouldn't say basic tricks, but like classic tricks. Like he'll do backsides. He'll do like Royales, but they're just like a really clean Royale. Like I love watching Sean skate. Like he's just one of my favorite skaters to watch. Like whenever he has one of those them edits, he's one of the people that kind of stands out for me.
Yeah, I actually, so one of the like localish guys was, he's a great guy. I kind of got into a little tiff with him, I think on Instagram, and I still think of this and I was like, fuck, that was a dick comment. But we were sitting there and we were talking about this and he's talking about Sean Darst and Pat Ritter, about how up and coming they are and how they're great at this and that. And I was like, cool. I still can't tell them apart. Was that the guy with the V13s and the Dickies? Because that's what everyone was wearing at the time. And I was like, oh, like not right after, but like the next day I was like, oh man, that was, but
I mean, it's a vibe. I don't really know Pat at all. I did not know Pat until his skate got announced. And honestly, I haven't seen much from him. I don't follow him on Instagram, so it's probably just not hitting my circle. I don't see a lot from him. I see Sean Darst all the time. Like I just see clips pop up in my feed just randomly. I'm thrilled that he got a new skate. That colorway is so good. I remember when it first came out, I think they sold out very fast. And it was a 908. Is that right? Yeah, it was right before they did the U1s, I think. No, they did the Bra Scouts, right? The first pro skate.
You're right.
Yeah, and then they did the Bra Scouts right after that. And then the U1s. I'm glad that they brought it back. Really clean colorway. And then, the Whites as well. The Whites, I think, are the 901s, full 901? 901 sole plate? I don't remember.
I think it's the 909 with the 901 sole plate.
It might be. I don't know. I can't. Either way. I have a hard time keeping up with the different shell breaks. And truthfully, I can't really tell them apart, just to be honest.
They are very, very similar.
Yeah.
Anyway, I will give you that.
Great skates. Very excited to see. I've seen a lot of people wanting to get the Shandarst. So
yeah.
Nice release.
So the next one that I want to talk about is Jimmy's new skate that just dropped, that Clark just announced. So Jimmy Sizz. I still have no idea if I'm saying his name right.
Yeah,
Jimmy,
yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, no Sizz.
Okay, good.
Yeah, yeah.
It was just announced that his pro boot from Faction, which is a tactical, like the original carbon boot, is dropping. It's so cool looking.
Yeah, it's a really clean look.
Yeah, it's nice looking. And it's just another one of those things where it, I feel like I saw Clark say something about it has a larger sole plate. So I don't know if that's like the original tactical V1 sole plate or if it's a new one.
That looks like the updated sole plate.
Slim one.
Yeah, the stealth sole plate, I think they call it. I wasn't a big fan of the original sole plates. The original ones had that really big heel. And it just might be my style, but I kept hitting that heel when I was doing back farves. Like I would actually hit it on a coping if it stuck out. Just, I mean, I'm sure it's just my style, but it felt like that sole plate was too big. I think that is called the stealth sole plate. And I don't know. Maybe they've done a tactical with the stealth sole plate. I don't know offhand. But yeah, it's a great looking skate. I'm stoked that Jimmy's getting some respect. He's had.
No, they did. It was the white one.
The white one was all. There you go.
Yeah, the white one had a blue sole plate that was like.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right. I remember that one. Yeah, great for Jimmy. Good dude. Amazing skater. He's, you know, from Florida originally. Is that right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
And so many times, like when we were skating with him, like I just turn and be like, what the fuck is that? Like, what is he doing? And then no one is surprised. They're just like, oh, it's just Jimmy.
This is
like,
Jimmy doing Jimmy shit. Yeah.
I can't even think of something like that. Like I could do 3.5 gallons of acid and still not be able to think that up. Like how the fuck does he come up with this stuff? And how does he have the ankle and knee mobility to do some of this stuff? Well, like him and Tree.
Yeah. Him and Tree. Yeah. Hanging out. I don't know if they're living in the woods at Clark's house or what, but they're there all the time.
It seems like it sometimes.
I don't know if Clark knows where they live. They just show up at the compound every now and then. Where'd you guys come from, huh? The woods. All right. You want to skate?
They just have tents under the ramp.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. I would not be surprised.
Yeah. Okay. So let's touch on the new stuff from Power Slide because there's a couple.
All right. Let me get a drink.
Okay.
We're going to be here for a while. Jesus, man. Like, I don't know, the new Mesmer thing. You want to start there? We can start there. Sure.
Yeah. I want to start there.
Sure.
Because I've learned things about the other one.
All right.
That we can talk about.
Do it.
So the Mesmer skate, I think it's just an Icon ACT.
Yes. So how do I explain this? So when you make a mold for a frame, it is a single piece mold. And the frame goes in, the mold gets closed, the injection molding goes in, and then the mold comes apart and the frame pops out. When you're making a skate, it's a two-piece mold. So there is the inside, which is the shape of the foot, so typically called a last.
Oh.
And then there is the outside, so two big molds that basically get paired together. What they've done, and this is no insider information from what I've picked up, is they've used the inside mold, the last mold, to keep costs down and to know what works. Because a lot of people have liked the ACT, the Icon ACT. So they're using the inside of the ACT and then they've created a new outside mold. That is the way that I understand it. So it allows them to share molds. Right, exactly. It is a thing that a big company who makes a lot of skates can do.
Yeah.
And more power to them. Like, I would liken it to me being able to use the same frame spacers on all of my products. So I don't have to redesign frame spacers every time. I just use the same frame spacer. The difference is...
It's a little different.
That is a $10,000 mold that I would never be able to afford. That power slide is able to. So Mesmer can come out with a brand new skate that definitely has an Icon vibe to it.
Yeah. And those ACTs, the more I see them, the more I like them, and the more I think that I want them. But I'm just not sure if they're wide enough.
I think the fit will be fine. Issue that I've heard, this is me as a skater, not as a company owner. The issue that I've heard is the stiffness and the responsiveness isn't great for aggressive. It's good for big wheel and all around skating. Now, that might be good for you because I know that you like a stiffer boot. I don't know that it is a aggressive mold. So they did come out with the, is it Jaru? Is that his name?
I
don't know how to pronounce his name.
I don't either.
I think he has a new skate, which is an Icon ACT, which, as what I've heard, uses a flexier material. Now, I'd love to hear what it feels like. I don't know. I don't know what, I know a bunch about materials now. You know, been making skates for a few years, and I've tested a bunch of materials. I don't know what they were using. I don't know what they are using now, but if they've been able to tone the flex up a little bit, I think that would be very welcome for an aggressive skate. Mesmer's definitely an aggressive company, so I would hope that the flex for the Mesmer Icon
is
skate,
a little bit
like, I don't know what to call it. Is it the Eclipse? Is that the name of it?
I think so.
Okay.
That's what the Scuttlebutt is.
Okay. So it's the Mesmer Throne and the Mesmer Eclipse. Is that right?
I think.
But they use the same throne cuff?
Yeah, I believe it is the same cuff.
Okay.
I believe. I don't know. I've only seen sneak picks.
Yeah, I haven't held them, and I always reserve judgment until I'm able to skate myself. I mean... More power too. I don't know how he can say this diplomatically. It's strange to me that there are so many friggin' skates out right now. And it seems like PowerSide released like 6 new skates, but they really only released 2 new skates, but they're across 3 or 4 different brands. Like it feels very like saturated. Like let's just flood the market with different options and like, throw shit against the wall and see what sticks.
Yeah. I mean, they're still going for the soul frame idea too. Like they're still pushing.
Was there
that.
A soul frame?
Yeah. And we'll get to what it was on in a sec.
I didn't see that one.
Okay. But Jay Yoon also got a pro.
I'm very excited about that one. That kid's been killing it for years.
He's so good.
He skates Aeons too, doesn't he?
I would assume so. Because
I think he
did.
Pro Aeon. Well, I mean, yeah, Nick Lomax got a pro Aeon. I don't know what he skates, but I don't think it's an Aeon.
No, he skates.
Does
the
he
shit
skate
out
Aeons?
Aeons?
Well, yeah. I mean, he skates everything. I don't know what he prefers.
I don't know that one. Probably his old Thrones.
Yeah, probably his old Thrones. Yeah, Jay's skates look interesting. It's a very. I will say this about PowerSide. They always go full commit. I am not a fan of the Jaeyun skate. I think it's a lot. I think it's great if that was the skate design that he came up with, that PowerSide supported him to fulfill his dream. And that is what PowerSide does best. They get crazy ideas and they're like, well, let's try it. You know, what's the worst that can happen? You know, maybe we don't sell a ton of them. Maybe, you know, we learn a lot from...
I do kind of like the color of the buckle, though.
It's the two-tone cuff that's a little weird to me.
Yeah,
this that weird, is odd. Like, painted thing. And, I mean, the color itself is fine. I'm not a big fan of painted Aeons to begin with. But I guess if you've got a single-piece mold, you kind of have to paint if you want any differentiation between it, aside from just different color of... plastics.
Yeah.
And end of the day, I'm thrilled that he got a skate. Did you see there's a second buckle? Like there's a Velcro strap in the liner? There's like double buckles, kind of like Michael Jackson style.
I did. I thought that was kind of neat.
I've never tried it. It's interesting. Yeah.
So I'm sure you remember Lazy Legs power straps and stuff like that from back in the day. So they used to also have like a liner wrap, like there, an ankle wrap that you could did put around really? Your liner like that.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah. I don't think it sold very well because I don't think anyone other than Oxygen made liners tall enough to really justify
it. Yeah, and that's the point. Yeah, if you've got a need or space for a buckle at the top of your liner, maybe your liner's too tall. I don't know. Maybe, I mean, our liners are too short. I think people say that they're too short. So I'm like, okay, well, there's a happy medium between them. I love our liners, but there's a happy medium between the two. I actually enjoyed the Shima liners. I enjoyed the Montre Sway liners. Those are both tall boys.
Yeah, they were.
I don't know that I needed an extra buckle for them, though. Like, I think laces was enough.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that.
Ultimately, though, stoked on Jay. He's an amazing skater. Always has been. I think we've talked about him before on the show.
Absolutely.
I am a huge fan. And, you know, much respect for Powerslide for giving the skater the skate that he wants.
Thank you for believing in Jay.
Yeah, yeah.
So, the interesting thing, for reasons that you probably might not think that I caught on to.
Mm-hmm.
So, Eugen has a new skate.
He sure does.
And it looks like a dad shoe.
It looks like those old, do you remember those Nike skates?
I do.
It was like the N.
I do. They were horrible.
V or N.
But they look, I thought
Energy
they
or whatever they were. Yeah. It's a very 90s, like, I think I saw in the Slack, it is what a skateboarder thinks of when they think of a rollerblade. So totally, 100%. Totally that. I mean, again, I haven't seen them in person. I reserve judgment until I've seen them. Photos are only, you know, as good as a photo is with the lighting and everything like that. Dad shoe is a good way of putting it, though.
Yeah, it's very dad shoe. Now, one thing that I did, I thought that was a completely new skate.
Mm.
They're just carbons.
Yeah, they're just a carbon. Well, not just a carbon. They are a carbon. And I love that they're bringing back the carbons.
Agreed.
It is a great skate. Whatever the skin really looks like, the internals of that skate. I skated carbons for a long time. Really love the fit. I love the lightness, the responsiveness. If that's the sort of thing that you like, it is a really good option for you.
I couldn't agree more with that. Excuse me.
So what soul plate is it? Is it the 7 soul plate? USC 7 soul plate? It's a new soul plate?
That's the soul frame.
Oh, is it the soul frame?
Yeah, that's the Kaiser Superfluids soul frame.
Is that the one with the shock absorption or just the no shockers?
No, that one doesn't have the shock absorption, but it does have 8 extra mounting points.
Jesus Christ, dude.
So another interesting thing about this is UFS Plus.
Yeah. Well, so hold on. It's a soul frame. Why do they need UFS Plus?
To still mount it to the boot, I guess.
But they have a sole. Like, what are the 8 extra bolts doing?
Yeah, so like, that one's interesting.
Like, that's...
Yeah, so that part's kind of weird. So I'm not sure about that. Now, the sole frame was originally, like, touted to be able to mount to, like, Solomons and stuff like that.
Okay.
Some sizes were like a direct bolt on and some you had to adjust holes in the mm-hmm. boots.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's a really neat idea. And with as much as I enjoyed, Aeons,
mm-hmm.
I think I might be able to enjoy those too.
Yeah. But
I have more than enough frames to get through and I don't think it'll ever happen.
I think I've spoken about the promise of a sole frame in the past. If you use a sole frame and if you do mounting outside, so if you've got the sole plates and the frame as one as a one piece, that means you don't need to use the UFS bolts. You can use the bolts on the outside at a minimum 4 bolts like the Omni, at a max, I would assume, 8 bolts like the faction uses, or potentially like this carbon uses. That gives you a sturdy mounting like base for frames and sole plates. I absolutely love that. And then you could have whatever split you want. You know, you could have a super wide split like a Aeon. You could have a normal split like a, you know, balance frame or whatever. I didn't know that this was UFS Plus. I don't know why you would have the extra mounting hardware. It seems like a bit of an extra amount of hardware that you might not need, but
yeah,
I don't know. So UFS Plus. So again, where to begin with this? So last year, PowerSlide did, I think it was with one of the Icon skates, some verbiage around UFS 2. And UFS 2, I honestly don't remember what it was. I don't remember what it was. I've got to be honest. As far as Universal, I don't think anybody ever was alerted of this. I'm a pretty big skate company and frame company. I didn't know anything about UFS 2. So if they were trying to make it a system that everybody was unified around, they didn't let me know about it. I will say with UFS Plus, I did get a nice email from Matthias last week. And he's like, hey, just so that you know, and I think it wasn't just to me, it was a blessed email. But he's like, hey, just so you know, we are introducing this. We think that this is the future. We think that it's backwards compatible, but it also allows us to, you know, expand UFS to allow for a wider split and different mounting patterns. We would love to talk with you a little bit more and get you involved. And I'm like, that's perfect. You know, I don't have the time to go through and design a new standard. If somebody wants to take the reins and go for it, go for it. Like, make it open source, send it to everybody who makes aggressive skates or UFS skates. And, you know, just talk about what's good and what's, you know, the goal of it. And, you know, if I see that there's value, I'll jump on board. Personally, right now, I don't see the value. I don't know that we need frames. I don't see a use case for frames with that big of a split. I think, you know, with the prime frames, I can get up to 120 mil in the middle on a 250 mil frame, 250 millimeter base. That's a pretty wide split. 120 mil is pretty wide. If you start going wider, one of the negatives that I've had with Aeons, especially with a 270, size 44. Yeah, you start getting this weird, like, am I skating flat or am I skating, anti rocker? Exactly.
And that ruined Aeons for me.
Well, and it's real, because the difference between having wheels kind of uniformly distributed between your feet and having wheels that are pushed so far out that you've got this huge split, it really just becomes an anti-rocker setup. I think the sweet spot has been around 110 for me. Our standard frames, the balance two frames, are 110. A lot of people skate balance two frames flat, and it's a great setup. It is not as wide as, you know, it could be, but it still allows access to the UFS bolts. I think there's merit for what Cletus has done with a Wish frame. I think if he had UFS Plus, and he didn't have to use 72 millimeter wheels on the outside, 60s on the inside, I mean, that frame wouldn't work anyway. But if he had the ability to make a flat 60 frame, or if Justin had the ability to make a flat 60 frame and really just push that bolt out as far as he wanted, I think he would. And I think, you know, I would love to try it and see what it feels like. UFS is 167. I think UFS Plus is 165 to 200. So what? That's the difference between the Jesus. Frame bolts between the 1 and 2 frame bolts, right? It's a really ingenious design. I can't remember the dude's name. Shoot, it's going to bother me. I got to bring it up. Matthias. It Umberto, that's his name, Umberto. I met him at Winter Clash 2 years ago. Really great dude, great designer. He's done a lot of work for Powerslide. Really ingenious dude. So huge respect to him. And as I always say, huge respect to Matthias for giving him some distance to just play with things and try things. The way that it works is super ingenious. I haven't held it, so I don't know for sure. But it looks like there is a bolt that comes from inside the boot. So it's a flat bolt, like a flathead screw, and the screw comes down. The screw itself has a channel on the inside, which allows for an M6 bolt. The outside, the UFS 20 millimeter nub, you know, like if you look at the bottom of a pair of UFS skates, there's the two nubs. They're 20 millimeter and they're 3 millimeters tall. There is a 3 millimeter, 20 millimeter wide, kind of like a T-nut that screws in. And inside that T-nut, it allows for the M6 bolt. So like if you imagine a donut that had threading on the inside, you put this threaded bolt from the inside of the boot to whatever distance you want. So you could go UFS at 167, or you could go super wide at 200. You push them through, and then your sole plate on. You get what I'm saying?
I think so. I think this is a similar idea to what I had.
Well, he created it. He made it actually a thing, which I have a lot of respect for. I'd have to see it. Yeah, you'll have to see it. I don't know if it's necessary. I don't know that we need this wide of a split. I think it's great that they're doing it. I think ultimately it's going to be frames that are UFS plus that people want to skate that will
probably
drive.
Just do a UFS.
Well, and if they create a frame that is like there's demand pushes progression. So back before Cletus created the UFS or the wish frame, very few of the skates had a recess for wheel 1 and 4. Now,
that's very true.
Every single skate has a recess for wheel 1 and 4 because Cletus said, no, the wheel should be able to extend above the sole plate. There's no reason that it has to be flat with a sole plate. The sole plate, you know, being 3 to 4 millimeters thick, we're losing that space. We don't need to grind in that area. Open up that area. So if you look at any modern sole plate, you'll see that it has a recess for the wheels. Most modern sole plates actually have a recess for wheels 2 and 3 as well. So you'd be able to run 60 millimeter wheels on a 58 millimeter frame, and it'll recess up inside. That is, we've just evolved. We've come to that point. If there is a frame that says, hey, this frame's amazing, but it requires a 200 millimeter UFS mount, UFS plus mount, and everybody's asking for it, but Standard doesn't support it, Them doesn't support it, T-Neck doesn't support it, they will say, okay, we're going to modify our sole plate so that we can support it, just like we modified our sole plates to support recesses in the first and the last wheels. I haven't seen those frames yet. Again, what I'm seeing is a sole plate that could be accomplished by just having the outside sole plate bolts already mounted. Like, that is a solvable problem, right? It would be great if there were a way to have that frame without it. But, you know, sole frames are another problematic issue where you've got to have the same width, the same contour. You got to have a sole plate that looks good on every skate, which is a really difficult problem to solve. Not to say that they can't, and I feel like they've kind of put their flag in the ground and said, look, we're going to do this. Here's how to do it. If you want to do this, get on board with us. Here's what we've done. We've done the research. We have a boot that accommodates it if you want to test. It's the same way that Salomon did it. Hopefully, you know, there's a reason for people to jump on board.
I like the idea in the sense that UFS as a standard has been around for so long. Mm-hmm. It'd be nice to see, you know, some updates done to it.
For sure.
Is it really necessary? Just like you're saying, if it ain't broke.
Yeah. And a lot of people would say that it's broke, But those people haven't designed MOOCs. Very good point. They haven't designed a frame around the UFS standard, and they haven't played with UFS. Like, they're not trying hard enough. Like, if Justin could create the AG60s, what are you doing, dude? Like, stop complaining. Just make a good frame. Like, you don't need to split that wide. Yeah, and I would love to be proven wrong. And I love that PowerSlide did it. I think it's crazy that it's on a Mesmer skate. I mean, this is the sort of thing that shouldn't be on a Mesmer skate. It should be on an Icon skate, because Icon, like, that whole brand is, we're going to push technology forward. We're going to try new things. We're going to experiment with stuff.
Yes.
Mesmer feels like, I have these skates in the garage. I don't know what wheels I have. I've got 7 wheels. I'm just going to go out there and skate. Like, you know what I mean? Like, the marketing has always been this, like, rough, like, very Haitian style, like
ragamuffin type.
Yeah, totally. Fuck the technology. I'm going to go out there and skate.
Yeah.
And then now it's like, here's the UFS Plus with adjustable mounting cuffs and, like, all right, dude, whatever. Like, I don't know if PowerSlide's going to PowerSlide, right?
Yeah. With that one, it's kind of like, pick a lane. Come on.
I mean, it is a very, and that is my takeaway from this show. There's so much skew coming out from PowerSlide that it's kind of blurring where the brands start and stop. Like, I love clear differentiation in brands, and it might just be me. Like, again, that's just the way that I kind of work, but I love that, you know, each brand kind of stood for its own thing, and now that's not
quite the case.
Yeah, exactly.
So another neat thing about the Eugen carbons, they're wider. So, like, in the ball of the foot, like, I saw a picture, like, of it, like, from the top view, and it looks much, much wider, which I really like the idea of that, because I found that to be an issue. After about, like, 45 minutes, my feet would start to get numb in carbon. So I'd have to take them off and or loosen them up a whole bunch and, like, sit down for a while.
Right.
But, I think that, cause they're touting that as all day comfort.
So as we talked about with Mesmer and Icon sharing the same internal mold, when you're making a carbon skate, they use a similar process. It is not a mold for the inside. It is a last, which, you know, is just like if you went to a cobbler and they were making you a shoe, you have this typically made out of wood. I don't know what material they use. This wood, like, replication of somebody's foot. So if the new carbons, starting with Eugen's, are a new last, there's no reason why the carbon itself, because the carbon isn't a mold, the carbon is just wrapped around a last. If they made the last wider, and maybe they're not compatible with the old sole plates. Did you ever skate or did you ever try to put carbon or carbon-free boots with a USD7 sole plate? A lot of them do. So
I liked it a lot.
You know how hard it is to get that sole plate on those skates? Like, it's not
easy.
Yeah, it's not as wide as it needs to be. That's the problem that you would have if you expanded that heel back there. But because they're shipping it with a new sole plate, maybe this new sole plate has that accommodation already built in. Maybe it has a wider heel and slightly wider area so that it can accommodate for it. I don't know, but that is one of the beauties of using carbon, is that you can make those slight changes, those slight adjustments, without having to create brand new molds.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. So I love the carbon. I think it's a great skate. It skates really well. It grinds well. I just can't stand how the toes get all jacked up. And that's my biggest issue.
I mean, that's any skin skate, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Me too.
So, and I would always run into an issue. Like I mentioned, like my feet would go numb, and I never really put two and two together until I started like with this new journey that I'm on with sneakers that I just need wider sneakers and my feet are comfortable.
I mean, so Yeah.
It makes sense that I would want that in the skate, which is why I skate the SLs, because
Yep,
they have
they're a
the
wide
wider
skate.
toe box. And then if I could get carbons with a nice wide toe box, that'd be really, really nice. But I just don't want dad shoe skates.
Yeah.
I'm sorry for whispering. I know that's creepy.
No, it's fair. So long as you don't whisper all the time.
All right.
Yes. So I think that old law would say, oh, they're just bringing out the pro model. They will probably follow up with a USD carbon in black using the same style in 6 months.
Yeah, probably.
I don't know what's going to happen now with the carbon. Like the carbon has been out for so long. What they will probably what they'll probably do is they'll come up with a carbon. Didn't they come out with a white carbon under Icon?
No.
Is
All
it
the
carbon
Icon carbon
free?
skates were black.
No. There's a new Icon skate that is a carbon that
Oh.
they announced at Winter Clash.
Oh, I haven't seen that one yet.
Remember what we were talking about where there's actually three different skates, but it's under five different brands?
Oh my God. That just clicked in my brain. Jesus Christ.
See if you can
That
find
made myself hurt.
the Icon white carbons. I don't know if they're carbons or carbon frees. And to be honest, I don't like the look of these. But see if you could look those up real quick and see if those will fit the bill. I will put a link in the show notes. I think they are carbon, not carbon free. I think they are the new last. I think they are the new size. I think they come with the USD 7 sole plate with a Kaiser Fluid 5 frame. I could be completely wrong though.
You're not, no, it's not the AG15, the Montres.
No, it's a brand new. It's brand new. You might have to
Okay.
social media it. All right, I found it. I'm going to send it to you. Our boy Spook Wackadoo is out in Eindhoven with all of the booth coverage. This is the Icon. I don't know what it's called. I don't know if it's a carbon or if it's a
Or
carbon
free.
free, but it is a skinned skate. It has a black, what looks like USD 7 sole plate and a white Fluid 5. Oh, did you see it? It's in your text.
Oh no, I'm stank facing. I don't like that one bit.
Yeah, it's not the best looking. I think Martinez skate is better looking than that, and I think that's as a carbon free. But I'm wondering if this is a carbon again. If you were trying to get into a carbon, this might be a way to do it. But if you've got stank face, then definitely don't do it. You have to like your skates.
Well, yeah, very true. A lot of those textures look like some of the textures they have in their custom shop. So maybe that's like a proof of concept. Like, look at the cool shit we can do with our custom textiles.
It's quite
It's
possible. I don't.
possible, but that looks gross. I don't like that.
If it's not for you, it's not for you.
Yeah.
It does give us hope that there will be a carbon in the future that doesn't look like
A
Huygens looks
Jordan?
like. Yes. Yes.
Or little dad shoes.
That's right. Both. Both. If you're trying to avoid both of those, there's hope.
You just want to skate,
Yeah,
I know a
I
guy.
mean, I tell you what, man, it is not hard to design a skate that just looks like a skate. I think they just got bored and they wanted to try something different.
I mean, I'm glad they can.
Yeah,
I'm glad they're willing.
I'd love to have that freedom, to be able to go out there and just ship whatever you want. I don't think I could do it. I mean, I don't know. I don't know that the last Icon skates, the Montre, remember those Montres that were very like
Yeah, they had
flowery kind of?
the two different colorways, the
Right.
black and the white ones, and like the white and the paisley-ish.
Yep. It great for Montre. Again, I think he was stoked to have them. That's a look. And I
Oh
don't think
yeah.
that everybody could pull that off. These maybe Huygens, it's going to be a rough one. I think it's a very, again, it's a solid throwback to the old Nike skates, and a
Yeah.
dad shoe vibe.
I
Might
mean,
be
you could just
perfect for
spray
him.
paint them black or dye them, and it wouldn't be that bad. It
Nobody's
would
going to do
depend
that
on how the
though.
different textiles would
Yeah.
take the dye, though.
He's always had some interesting designs with his carbons. Remember that one that had no laces and it had that elastic that was cool. kind of strap? Yeah.
Yeah.
So I like those. Support to Eugen for trying new things.
When I first saw that picture, I thought it was a joke.
The one that I just sent you?
I was like, the
fuck? Or the Eugen one.
Yeah. The Eugens. I was like, what the fuck is this? Like, USD has lost their mind.
It is a thing.
And then Eugen posted on a story that got cross-posted to Facebook.
Yeah.
You know, all this hate, you know, is funny to me about my skate. And I'm like, those are Eugen skates?
Yeah.
And I started to look into them and then I realized. Because, I thought that it was a whole new mold.
Oh, right.
Some other people had mentioned, I can't believe they did a new mold. And so then I figured out that they were the carbons, and then I figured out they were USD Plus, and then figured out they were Eugens. It's just like, okay, man. Like, I'm glad you like them. Yeah. I'm glad you're happy.
Yeah.
But, and like knowing that it's a carbon, maybe one day I'll try a pair. When the black ones come out.
Yeah. I was just going to say, I am a big proponent of having the pro model reflect the vision of what the pro wants.
Yeah.
But you should always ship a black skate as well.
Agreed.
like the pro is going to have their thing. The pro is what's marketable. I mean, look at what Eugen's design has done. We've talked about it for 20 minutes now.
Yeah.
And it's extremely well shared on the internet. I don't know that people are going to buy that skate, but they're definitely talking about the new USD skates and the new Powerside skates. That was the point, and that's the point of a pro model skate. You know, when Yondi had his brown skates with the orange, everybody was talking about it because it's a very different colorway. And it gets people talking about standard. So that's why we do pro model skates. Same with Brian, with a really clean blue skate. Everybody talking about it, and now it's like
a really good-looking skate.
Yeah. But there needs to be a safe skate as well. I mean, we can only do two skates for a season. I would love to see that carbon, like you said. I'd love to see that carbon in just an all black. I had the all blacks, beautiful skate, and if it fixes your heel issues and it's a little wider, and it gives you the option to skate with that sole frame. I mean, I think it could be a really compelling skate for a lot of people.
I agree.
Did any other skates catch your eye?
Julian Kudo got a new colorway.
Julian's got a new Cougar skate. He's got
those gray Cougars.
Which we're recording this on Friday. I'm going to assume that he won. I don't know.
I think it's a fair assumption. I think you're pretty safe with that.
Yeah, the event isn't until tomorrow.
So it's either going to be him, Nils, or Joe Atkinson. It's going to be one of those three.
Oh, is Joe there? I think CJ's there, Joe's too. There. I think one of those...
He is.
Yeah, I think one of those four might be able to do it. Depends on if... again, it's about semifinals. If they can just have consistent semis. I think those four boys... that park, that course really bodes well for them. So congratulations to whoever won. my money would be just be on Julian. I think it's just a safe bet. He's done, I don't know. Cougar doesn't really have any exposure in my bubble. He is the face of Cougar. It's great that he's getting his own skate. I still think those skates look very odd. Apparently that skate, so it's a charcoal skate. The only pictures that I've seen are like caveman setup with no laces, which I guess is the way that Julian skates anyway. So it's like, maybe that is the pro model, but I think they come with I think they come with, you know,
some
laces.
Of the shit that guy does. That's how he skates.
Totally. Well, that's the thing, man. Like skates really don't matter. Like, we've been talking about it for an hour, but this boy will go out there and just, you know, with whatever skate he can find, do the craziest stuff and take, you know, top three. He does skate caveman. I think they have on their frame a juice block esque style block. So I don't think it is open on the inside. I think it is almost like freestyle-y style, but it's using an anti-rocker frame. So it's not like a Mook or, you know, whatever the other freestyle frames are.
Okay. That makes sense.
And I think it comes with laces. Again, the only pictures that I've seen are with no laces. It's a weird looking skate to me. Like the lines are just very abrupt.
Yeah. It's got that real pointy toe.
Yeah. That chin kind of on the toe. That's just like a very, like very sharp lines.
Yeah.
I've said it before. There is, because there are so many skates out there is a skate for you. And trade show has proven that with all of the releases, that have come out, if you can't find a skate that fits your feet, you're really not trying that hard. There are so many skates now with so many different designs and so many different fits. There is a skate out there for you. And I don't know. I don't know that there's that many skaters. Like I keep going back to the amount of skaters out there. Again, I don't know the market outside of the US as well as I do the US. There's not that many skaters in the U.S. I got to assume that the Cougar Skate is an international / China market. I mean, China's huge. There are billions of people living in China. A lot of them rollerblade. So there's got to be a market. Maybe Cougar is crushing it there. I honestly don't know. I don't know anybody who skates Cougars. I haven't seen Cougars advertised anywhere. I don't see any of their socials. I don't see any shops carrying Cougar. It is an anomaly to me. The fact that they have one of the greatest competition skaters that we've ever had as their, you know, their poster boy.
No idea how that happened.
I mean, they threw money at him. That's how that happened. But the fact that he's got a pro skate, I mean, good for them. Like, again, that is what we want to see from skates. Like if you're making aggressive skates and you have a amazing skater on your team, give him his flowers. Like this guy has been skating forever. He's, as far as I know, never had a pro skate. He deserves it. He deserves something with his name on it. And give him some good royalties and make sure that everybody knows that, you know, this is the guy. Like he is an amazing skater. He should be getting this level of respect, and hopefully he's getting paid for it. You know, like I'm sure he's getting paid, but like I'm hoping he's making a good amount of money.
What do you think about the new Lava skates?
I mean, they're an Alibaba skate that I saw Trigger try to make and then Trigger couldn't make. I think they're just different colorways of the same open mold that other skate companies could use. It's a very strange, like, shop brand almost.
Because there is a Lava Skates skate shop.
Yeah, it was actually kind of weird because they were a really big supporter for V2, and then they started making skates, and I was like, you know, like you're a competitor now. Like I wanted
weird, bro.
Yeah, I wanted to work with you as a shop because I have a lot of respect for them. I had a lot of good conversations about them, and we were planning on doing V3. But then they started making skates, and I was like, why are you doing that? Like, I think I've gone on this rant before about when shops make their own products, and it's just like a really weird, like you're fighting the people who are keeping you in business.
Yeah.
Like, why are you competing with me? Like, I'm here to create products so that you can sell them so that you can fill your shop with product. Like, why would you make another thing? Maybe they're finding more success in creating skates. Again, I don't see people. I have a couple people that I know that skate Lava, but I don't see people skating Lava. It's a weird time here in the US where tariffs kind of prohibit China-based brands from distributing in the US. It's extremely expensive to import them. So maybe there's a couple of them in the US, but I definitely don't see a lot of them.
They're dirt cheap.
They're under
$200.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, it's really hard to compete when it's a direct from China brand with relations to like the factory with the factory. So it's like, I have a really like bad taste in my mouth because I really wanted to support that shop and I wanted to like keep like, you know, the things growing the relationship in China. Yeah, exactly. I haven't heard anybody who really loves the skates. I know a lot of people who skate the skates. I mean, Sasha Lopez on Fitty Fitty skates the skates. He's on the team. I don't know much about the skates themselves. I've never skated them. I don't have an opinion on them. Okay. I don't have much good or bad to say about them. They're just a thing. But it's just, it's weird. Again, it's kind of this weird market where, like, do we really have that many skaters where we can have, like, sponsored skaters that people would recognize skating for brands that are just kind of straight from a factory? Like, you could go on Alibaba and order them. Like, it's very strange. See,
I didn't realize that that's what it was. I don't know why I didn't, because I feel like I've looked on Alibaba on their app before and seen those skates.
Yeah.
But it just didn't click with me. And that kind of makes sense.
It might be different now. I remember that Trigger announced, was it Trigger or was it Cultic? One of the two announced a skate.
I think Trigger.
It might have been Trigger. Announced a skate that was that skate. And then they couldn't ship it, maybe. So maybe they bought the molds and they say, no, we're going to keep this mold for ourselves. I'm honestly not sure. But that's the thing. Like, it wasn't developed by a skater in the aggressive community. It was, you know, developed so that they could sell skates. Like, factories out there are creating products for, you know, brands that need skates. And I am sure that there are recreational skates, aggressive skates, fitness skates, speed skates, all sorts of skates out there. That, you know, our factory that we use for our skates and our frames and stuff, they have open molds that you could use. That's how, you know, John was able to get started with the 908, right?
Yeah,
it's true. The same as the Anarchy skate and the Airwalk skate. It's just using the same mold, but, you know, you customize it a little bit and you know create your own sole plate and you your own branding around it. That's a good way to get things started. That's kind of what this was. So I'm not a fan. I've been pretty vocal about how I think aggressive specifically should be a skater made, skater owned world. Like, there are so few aggressive skaters that the more people who are competing for your skate sales, the less people who grew up skating, who love skating, who will contribute to skating, who want to support the community, are unable to make their rent.
Yeah.
Like, anytime, you know, somebody buys a pair of, I don't know, Echo skates instead of a pair of them 909s, it kind of bums me out, because it's like, John could really use that sale. And those skates are very similar. Like, if you look at them from, like, squint your eyes a little bit, you can see that they're a very similar skate.
Yeah, they are.
Why not give John's your money? You know, like, this dude's been up there working hard, contributing to the industry. And end of the day, like, if this, you know, skate company fails as a aggressive skate, they've got their recreational skates to hold them up. You know, Echo specifically is a subsidiary of Stateside, I think, which, you know, runs a ton of different brands in different sports. They are absolutely fine. So if you are flipping the coin between a pair of Echo or a pair of Thems, I would always land on the side of support your local small skater-owned company, support John, and get yourself a pair of Thems. The same goes with any brand. I think we've got enough brands out there now that are owned by skaters, that the skaters have invested money into the community and into the molds to make skates, that you can find a skate that's made by one of us, that fits your feet, that performs really well, that you know is going back into a blader's pocket so that they can reinvest in blading, and we'll be here to keep skating alive. To me, that's important. You know, it might not be important to everybody, and everybody's financial situation is different. Maybe you love the Echo skate. Maybe you love the Lava skate. Like, again, if it fits your feet, if it keeps you from skating, get yourself one of those skates. I don't care. Like, I'd much rather you be skating than anything. But if you have a choice, Definitely, I would encourage people to support a skater made skate.
Makes sense. Because, like, when I saw that Sasha started skating them, that's when I was just like, ooh, I wonder how Law feels about those.
Yeah. Sasha's an interesting one. So I know that he loved the Omnis. And he was in our, we did an edit last year. We sent Yandi and Luke over to Spain for a little bit. They hung out in Barcelona. And then they went down to France at Montpellier for the Blading Cup. And they were there for a couple of weeks, I think, and just kind of hung out with the community. You know, we've been trying to figure out the European market. It's a really difficult nut to crack, especially for a U.S. company. I don't think any U.S. company does really well in Europe because it's so heavily Powerslide, Rossi's, Echo. Like, they're very strong over there. Yeah. So we wanted to kind of figure it out. And we definitely have our supporters over there. Sasha really liked the skates. Sasha's been, you know, a 50-50 rider for a while. And he's, you know, a great dude. I don't want to get into specifics about things, but I know that he was looking for something more official. And it's not something that, you know, as a small company, I could afford. Like, I want to be able to take care of my team, be able to eventually get them a signature skate, you know, with royalties on that skate sales. I want to be able to help them with travel, get them to events, things like that. And it's hard to do with a big team. So we have a, what, 5-person team right now. So it's, you know, Stefan, Yandi, Brian, and then Luke and Andrew Broom, who are on like the pro team or whatever, you know, main team, whatever you want to call it. That's a lot. So when we get people out for Blading Cup or, you know, we're going to have Crowder event, which is April 20, is it April 29th? I think it is.
I'm not sure.
End of April. It is, you know, the local event here. I'm going to make sure that everybody can come out, put them up in Airbnb and hang out for a few days, get some clips, go skate, like, be available at events. Like, that's kind of our local Blading Cup. But we flew everybody out to Blading Cup. I think everybody except for Stefan, who was injured at the time, was able to go out to Blading Cup. And they hung out for 5 days, 6 days. And it's really expensive, dude. Like, these aren't, you know, kids. These are adults. Like, so I want to make sure that, you know, if you're missing work, I'm taking care of you. Like, it's not enough to just pay for your food. Like, I want to make sure that you don't have any expenses that week. Like, it is your vacation. Let me put you up in a hotel, like an actual, like, Airbnb or whatever, so you have an actual bed, like, not crashing on the floor or anything like that, like we used to when we were kids. Make sure that you take care of, like, expenses. Like, make sure you take care of flight, like, gas, all rental car, whatever you need. And the more people that you have on the team, the more difficult it is for me to afford it, you know? So, yeah, that was, for me, that was a problem with Sasha. Again, I don't know that he would be interested in being on standard full time. He enjoyed the skates, but we did have a talk last year, I think when Lava approached him, because he's a really, you know, professional dude. And he's like, hey, just so you know, they were talking to me about it. I'm interested. I haven't tried the skates yet, but I wanted to see, you know, I'm on standards right now. What do you think? And I'm like, you know, we love you, but we can't afford you. If Lava's going to be able to hook you up and give you a future, I, you know, who am I to say no, you know, like, I don't want anybody to stick around just for
go with the grace of God.
Yeah, exactly. He's still a great dude, amazing skater, always has been, still, you know, skates 50-50 and I still flow him as much as I can. I think he likes the skates. Again, it's not my place to ask him what he thinks about the skates. That's how sponsorships work. You know, you get approached by a brand and they say, hey, we want you to skate these skates, and they send you the skates and they say, this is the terms, and you say yes or no. And if that algebra worked out for him, I mean, clearly it did, and he enjoys them. So more power to him, you know? And he makes them look good. So, like, whether they're great skates or not.
That's very true.
he makes the skates look amazing. So that's, you know, I hope that they are paying him what he's worth, because he's definitely an amazing skater and deserves it, in my opinion.
Yeah, I would probably go on record and say they're probably not paying him enough. definitely not what he should be getting.
I will confidently say that nobody who is an aggressive skater as a professional gets paid enough. I don't think anybody is making what they're worth. But that is the place that we are in the market right now, unfortunately.
Yeah, unfortunately. So I didn't see a whole lot else from Winter Clash.
There is a new Flying Eagle skate. I know you're a big Flying Eagle fan. Have you seen anything about that?
I saw a sneak peek.
So
the dark picture. That's all I saw so far.
I don't know a ton of information, but they are bringing out Flying Eagle Aggressive. So it is the new line from Flying Eagle. I know Ricardo Lino has been working with Flying Eagle for a few years now. Likely starting this, so developing this skate. I don't know anything about it. I haven't really seen pictures. I think I saw a couple clips, but I don't know a lot about it. It is a skate. I don't think there's anything, you know, remarkable to write home about. Yeah, exactly. We're at that point now where skates are kind of just all the same. You know, it's really difficult to come up with something that is a unique look or a unique concept. Which, you know, I hate when that happens, because either you fight on branding or you fight on performance or you fight on price.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's really difficult to fight on price against these big companies, because they don't rely on aggressive as a thing. So they can use aggressive. It's kind of like the Walmart style where, you know, they can cut prices on a few things to bring you in the door. Or in this case, you know, get your attention and, you know, get like the cool people skating them. And then they can turn around and sell big wheel skates at a higher price, and make their margins back. I wouldn't signal out any individual brands. But it is a weird time in aggressive. That's for sure. Remember when we brought out the Omni, it was 2013 that we announced, and it was before Echo. It was before the second Mesmer skate. It was before Icon. It was before Faction had a plastic boot. It was before Cougar had an aggressive boot. It was before Flying Eagle had an aggressive boot. It was before Lava was a thing. Like, what is that? 8 skates that I just named? That's a lot, man. So, like, how has the skating community doubled in size? Because before there were, what, 7 or 8 skates as well? So, like, there's twice as many options now. There's not twice as many skaters.
No, so, I don't think so.
I don't know where these sales are coming from. It is quite possible that there is a huge push in Europe and in China that I am unaware of. I can share that Southeast Asia is not going great. You know, the economy there is really tough. Japan especially is getting hit hard. That area, you know, economy is hitting hard everywhere, but it's really hitting hard in that area. And the interest in rollerblading, I know there are a lot of skate shops closing in Korea. That is a sign of the times. If there's something else going on in, you know, China or in Europe, or maybe Russia that we don't sell to, but maybe there's a lot going on in Russia that I don't know about. Again, I don't have visibility to this. What I do know is there's a ton of options, and that's just, go on. Like, again, make your skates. If this is what you want to spend your money on, great. You know, it's business. End of the day, we're all trying to make a buck and stay in business. So, do your thing. as a rollerblader, I appreciate there's a lot of options out there right now. I think anybody out there who's in the market for a new skate can easily find a skate that works for them, because there are dozens of different options out there in your size. Slightly different fit, slightly different flex, slightly different look. You'll find something that works for you. That is a great, for a skater, for a buyer, that is a great market to be in. For a brand, it's a little scary. You know,
a little tough, yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely not as easy as, and it was never easy, but it's much more difficult now than it was. So I do hope that, that, you know, 2026 isn't this crazy year where, you know, we see brands crashing and burning. I do hope that, you know, skaters are still out there being able to make ends meet. I don't know anybody who's doing this full time that's able to afford, you know, salary and everything like that. But I do hope that these brands are taking good care of their skaters. And yeah, I mean, I hope that blading continues to grow. I think ultimately we got so many people coming back into blading. I see it every day. New people coming back. Those people need skates. So maybe again, maybe they're seeing something that I'm not. I'm really proud of our latest release. We have pretty much sold out of our first shipment. So we brought in like half of our skates, and we're already out. So I have to bring in more. We were able to, because of the tariffs, I didn't want to bring in a ton of skates and just kind of sit on them and, you know, pay tariff fees, you know, ahead of time just to sit on skates. So only brought in what I needed. You know, I'm basically sold out of Brian's skate. I have maybe a dozen pair of assorted sizes of the white V3s left. So I should have more skates coming in. You know, the factory comes back on Monday. They were closed for Chinese New Year. Most of February they're closed. So I should be able to get another shipment coming in. And then, you know, that'll be here probably beginning of April. So we'll have more skates available, but, yeah, it's conservative times. I joke on the Slack, you know, when I'm able to invest in new projects or not, I call it the McRib season. So there's this, do you know the whole thing about McRib?
Yeah.
Where it comes in and out.
Yeah. Based on the economy.
Yeah, exactly. So it is this, the price of pork. So if pork hits this line, then it is cost beneficial for McDonald's to start making the McRib again. So it's McRib season. It has not been McRib season for a long time. You know, it was definitely McRib season when I had Compass frames and Prime frames and Balance 2 frames and 58 millimeter wheels and 56 millimeter wheels and new 58 millimeter wheels and standard Omni and Omni frames. And it's like, woohoo, like let's spend all the profits, you know. Right now it is not McRib season. So there will not be, you know, a lot of new investment. This is pay down our debt. This is make sure that we can get the team out to their, you know, events, supports, you know, shops, support, you know, local events, and just batten down the hatches, man. Because I don't know what this year is going to bring. The economy is shit. The market is saturated. We'll see who ends up, you know, on top at the end of this year. I just want to survive.
Yeah. I think you'll do all right. Like you're always smart with that.
Well, I appreciate that. I hope so.